Now, in the doctrine of translation, in other words, I have an English Bible in front of me. Now, from what I hear, the original Bibles, the original Bible, whatever you want to call it, were written in Hebrew and Greek and a little Aramaic, I suppose, is in the Old Testament. That's what men tell me. You see, and as soon as I even believe that, I'm not saying it's not true, but if I believe that, I then have to believe men. Because you know what? If I had a original Greek Bible or an original Hebrew Bible or a copy of them, I wouldn't know what they were saying because I don't read Hebrew and Greek. I don't want to be beholden unto men to tell me things regarding my soul. But you know what? In English, I can go in these bookstores and it says Holy Bible and they're in English. And I can look in English, and as I read in the English Bible, which is a language I do understand, I see that God says a lot of things about His book. Therefore, I have the choice. I can believe what the Bible says, or I can go and believe what men tell me the Bible says. Now, all these teachers would have you think that because you have a translation in English, listen closely, they say when you go from one language to another, from Hebrew and Greek into English, that you lose something in the translation. Because we just don't have, this is what they say now, these heathen lion serpents. They say to you that, well, we really don't have, you know, when we go from one language to another, we lose something in the translation. And sometimes in English, we don't have the exact equivalent word. I heard just today on the radio, that guy J. Vernon McGee sat there and said, you know what, the translation really isn't translated properly here. And I don't even know where he was talking about in the passage, but I'll tell you what. Guess what there, Mr. McGee? You know now how wrong or right you are, don't you? You sure do. Because he's dead. You see, don't you believe anybody when they come up to you and tell you, that isn't translated right. If you have a King James Bible in your hand, this study, by the time you're done, if you believe the verses only, you will be equipped to just rest in what God tells you and not be interested in what men would have you tell them. If anyone comes up to you and tells you that verse isn't translated right, they're trying to steal God's book from you. Do you understand me? Because you can't now trust the book. You see? All right, so here we are. Now, we're going to look at this doctrine of translation. Where in the Bible does God have it that He can get the Bible to us in English? Again, I don't care of its sources. I don't care what Hebrew and Greek text this book that I have in front of me comes from. I don't care. And you would do yourself a lot of good if you were to adopt that thinking. You're English, if you're listening to me. And you should be able to go and find a Bible in English. And by what that book says about itself, it should pass the test of being inspired, preserved, pure, and perfect. It should be. Now, this is the problem. Most folks don't read their Bible. That's why they're so beholden unto these foolish dolts who claim to be Bible teachers. All right? You need to read the Bible. You need to read through it about 50 to 100 times, following the establishment commandment, of course, starting in Romans. But that's how you need to read it. Now, when we get now to the book of Esther, the book of Esther is a wonderful book. And let me tell you some facts about Esther. Did you know that God Almighty is not mentioned in the 10 chapters of Esther, that's the entire book, one time? He's not even referred unto. Okay? He's not even referred unto. Esther's, in the entire book, God's not mentioned. So this is a book of the Jewish people dealing with some issues in their lives. Okay? But you need to remember, it's a wonderful story, the book. And I don't really have time to read the whole 10 chapters to you, but it is a great story, by the way. And we'll see that how Esther, she winds up being queen. And she's married to this guy named Ahasuerus. And, you know, everything's going, but then there's this wicked guy named Haman. These are the guys in the plot, and this guy Haman wants to kill all the Jews because a man named Mordecai, who seems to be related to Esther, his uncle, her uncle, that he wants to kill all the Jews because of Mordecai would not bow or give him reverence. So that's the main story that's going on. But you know what? There's this underlying theme that's repeated over and over in the book. And that, you know, I didn't see it until about maybe, I don't know, my 40th something time through the scriptures. And when I saw it, I can't tell you the joy it has. Because let me explain something. Out there in the world of King James Bible believers, so-called, the ones who say it's final authority. It's not final authority, it's all authority. It's as if there's different types of lower level courts filled with authority, so the speaker, or authorities underneath God's book that lead up to God's book being the final authority, as i.e. the Supreme Court. It doesn't work that way. This book is all authority. There is no authority under it or above it or anything. You got it? So, but they would have you to believe, and these are King James advocates. These are people who espouse to believe the King James Bible. They'll teach inspiration, they'll teach preservation, and they'll show you all the mistakes and Satan's counterfeits. Yeah, they're good at that. But they always resort, now listen, they always resort to the Hebrew and Greek text by being, I know what they say, and I'm not even going to repeat it because it's not even worth talking about, but they, when it comes to translation, okay, they don't go to the scriptures alone to prove how God got us his word in English. They simply just say, well, God, you know, we have it in English because it comes from the right Hebrew and Greek text. Right there. If you believe right now, currently, that the King James Bible in your hand is the right Bible because it comes, listen to me, from the correct Hebrew and Greek text, the Textus Receptus, if that's what you believe, you are placing your faith in the words of men. Because you don't know anything about Hebrew and Greek. Do you got me? And even if you did, you're still placing your faith in the words of men. Do you see what I'm saying? The Bible, this book you have in your hand, is a self-contained unit. It does not need Hebrew and Greek text to support it. I don't care how many translators worked on it. I don't care where it came from. I care about what it says, the words on the page of this book that claims to be the book of God. So, let's look at Esther now and remember that God is not even mentioned. And let's see how we can get our English Bibles in our hands from God Almighty and it not be any trouble for God to do it. Okay, let's look at verse 1 to give you a little, get the story going here. Now it came to pass in the days of Ahasuerus. This is Ahasuerus, which reigned from India even unto Ethiopia over 127 provinces. You see that? This guy has a huge dominion, a huge kingdom. All right, now he goes and he has this big feast, he has this big party. The queen doesn't want to come, so he's just tired of her. Now watch what he says here. Look at the end of chapter 1. So, because they're all ticked off because Vashti didn't come to the party. Now, look at what his counselors tell him. Okay, let's see here in verse 13. Then the king said to the wise men, which knew the times, for so was the king's manner toward all that knew law and judgment. And the next unto him, and to list all these people, look what he says in verse 15. What shall we do unto the queen Vashti according to law, because she hath not performed the commandment of the king Ahasuerus by the chamberlains? And Memucan answered before the king and the princes, Vashti the queen hath not done wrong to the king only, but also to all the princes and to all the people that are in all the provinces of the king Ahasuerus. For this deed of the queen shall come abroad unto all women, so that they shall despise their husbands in their eyes, when it shall be reported. The king Ahasuerus commanded Vashti the queen to be brought in before him, but she came not. Likewise shall the ladies of Persia and Media say this day unto all the king's princes, which have heard of the deed of the queen, thus shall there arise too much contempt and wrath. If it please the king, let there go, now watch this, a royal commandment from him, and let it be written among the laws of the Persians and the Medes, that it be not altered, that Vashti come no more before King Ahasuerus, and let the king give her royal estate unto another that is better than she. And when the king's decree, which he shall make, shall be published, throughout all his empire, for it is great, all the wives shall give to their husbands honor, both to great and small. And the saying pleased the king and the princes, and the king did according to the word of Memucan. Now watch this. And he sent letters into all the king's provinces, into every province, according to the writing thereof, and to every people after their language, that every man should bear rule in his own house, and that it should be published according to the language of every people. Now listen for a second here. We are talking here about a man. This guy Ahasuerus, and he has these people send out this letter. He is simply a man. And watch what he's going to do. And I was, I'm not going to really go in. I normally teach the whole book. But, you know, I think people's attention span is so poor that I lose them. So I'm just going to point out the passages regarding very specifically in our study on the Word of God itself. Okay, now let's go to chapter 3. Just remember now, in verse 22 of chapter 1, this king sent letters into all the king's provinces, into every province according to the writing thereof, and to every people after their language, that every man should bear rule in his own house. See that? He sends this letter out into all his provinces, and it's in all the writings thereof, and to every people after their language. Are you getting that? Good. Go to chapter 3. Chapter 3, now Haman, this guy shows up and he wants to kill all the Jews. I won't tell you why. Like I told you, Mordecai won't bow to him or give him reverence. He can't stand the Jews now. All right, now watch what it says here in verse 9 of chapter 3. If it please the king, let it be written that they may be destroyed, and I will pay 10,000 talents of silver to the hands of those that have the charge of the business to bring it into the king's treasuries. It's a fascinating story, by the way, too. Talking about taking the wise in their own craftiness. Verse 10, and the king took his ring from his hand and gave it unto Haman, the son of Hammedatha, the Agagite, the Jew's enemy. And the king said unto Haman, the silver is given to thee, the people also to do with them as it seemeth good to thee. Now watch closely. Then were the king's scribes called on the 13th day of the first month. Now remember what a scribe was? A scribe of God? What was a scribe of God Almighty's job? Remember Ezra? The hand of God was upon him. The wisdom of God was in his hand. And when Ezra when he wrote as a scribe of God, he wrote the law of God. He was a scribe of the words of God. Ezra says he didn't make errors when he wrote down what God said. Well, this earthly king, who's a man, who is not God, has scribes. And watch what he did in verse 12. Then were the king's scribes called on the 13th day of the first month, and there was written, according to all that Haman had commanded unto the king's lieutenants, and to the governors that were over every province, and to the rulers of every people of every province, according to the writing thereof, and to every people after their language. In the name of King Ahasuerus was it written and sealed with the king's ring. Now, wait a minute. This earthly king can give authority unto Haman to use the king's scribes to write and command unto his lieutenants and to these governors that were over every province and to the rulers of every people of every province according to the writing thereof and to the people and to every people after their language. In other words, a man from authority of an earthly king can then go write letters and translate them into the many languages of all these different provinces. Do you see that? This is a man doing this. Remember, I recall to your memory, God Almighty is not even mentioned in the book. God has nothing to do with this. This is just what's happening. Look at verse 13. And the letters were sent by posts into all the king's provinces to destroy, to kill, and to cause to perish all Jews, both young and old, little children and women, in one day, even upon the 13th day of the 12th month, which is the month Adar, and to take the spoil of them for a prey. So do you get it? These scribes, these earthly scribes, man scribes, flesh scribes, that God's hand wasn't on these scribes, these are just scribes of an earthly king, can write letters translated into all these different languages. Now look at verse 14. The copy of the writing for commandment. Wait a minute. Not only can they translate all into all these languages. It's coming in copy form. So the originals weren't the issue when it got to all these different provinces in the different languages. They got copies of it. They didn't get originals. They got copies. The copy of the writing for a commandment to be given, and these writings were for a commandment to be given in every province, was published unto all people, that they should be ready against that day. Now, do you see that? So what do we have going on here? We have earthly people, flesh, a king, an earthly king, who then gives permission to this guy named Haman, who then takes the king's scribes, and none of this is God, God is not involved in any of this. Do you got it? God's not doing this. This is all their own doing. And they translate Haman's words into all the languages of all these provinces. And then not only do they translate it, it all goes out in copy form. That's published. These copies of these writings are commandments to be given in these provinces and are published, verse 14 says. Now look at chapter 4, verse 3. With that in mind, now look at 4, verse 3. And in every province, watch this, whithersoever the king's commandment and his decree came. Do you see that? When these letters that were in copy form, translated into all the different languages, sent out for commandments and published, got to those provinces, it says in the Bible, in Esther 4:3, and in every province, whithersoever the king's commandment and his decree came. Guess what? When those letters got there, what were they? They were the king's commandment. There was no doubt. The people who received those letters didn't say this, well, they're not the originals, and if we really want to know what the king said, we need to get the originals. Nor did they say this, you know, this letter from King Ahasuerus that just came to me, because it was translated into my language, I feel that there's something lost in the translation. No, not at all. When those letters got there, you listen to me and you listen good. It was what the king said. These were translated, copied letters. Translated copies. And they didn't lose nothing in translation, and they got it in copy form. And I'm here to tell you, if an earthly king can do it, am I to believe for one millisecond that God Almighty cannot do that? Is that what you're telling me out there, all you foolish, lying scumbag? So I get so infuriated. You children working for Satan, your daddy. All you people out there who are pushing these other Bibles and who want people to believe that only God wrote a book in the original languages and it's the only thing that we can have. Let me tell you what. God Almighty can do anything he wants. He is God. This is the word of God we're talking about. And I have just showed you that an earthly king can translate his words into all the different languages of his province, and he didn't lose nothing in translation. He can then send those translated words out in copy form, and when those translated words get there in copy form, it's what the king said. And if an earthly king can do it, how dare you, blasphemous dolt, tell me that God Almighty cannot do the same. If you even think such a thought, you're lucky you live in the dispensation of grace. Because if this was 3,000 years ago, and if I was in King David's army, and I heard you thinking such dribble, I'd have your head. I am so sick of people tearing down my father's book because of their ignorance. You don't read the Bible. That's why you don't believe the Bible. You're dependent upon some foolish teacher out there to teach you. And he's an idiot, and he's dragging you down with him. Oh, it's sickening. Go with me to Esther chapter 8. Yes, I'm ticked off. Because, listen, if there's any time that real men of God should stand up and spit fire on the pavement, it is this. This is the Word of God, this King James Bible. How do I know it? Because I've read it 150 times more than you. That's how I know it. You haven't. Esther chapter 8. Let's see the same thing happen. Now, what happens? Well, guess what? Haman's plan backfires. He gets hanged in the gallows that he had prepared for Mordecai. But in Esther chapter 8, it gets even better. Now Esther, remember this letter that went out was to kill the Jews? Well, now they got to reverse it. Haman's dead, and they got to reverse the letter. So we're going to do it again. And God's going to tell you the same thing again in his book. He's going to tell you the same thing, how an earthly king has translated his word into copy form, and when it's got there, it's what the king said. Do you got it? Except this time, it's coming from Esther and Mordecai, the Jew, with the king's permission. Now, the good guys are in charge of getting it written down. We're going to see it again. And let me tell you, you know why it's in there twice in Esther? Did you ever read there back in Genesis? Where Joseph tells unto Pharaoh, the reason that the dream is doubled unto thee twice is because the thing is established by God. You know, let me tell you something. God is not in the habit of repeating himself, but he puts it twice. Do you understand? Are you getting it yet? Why God is not mentioned in the book of Esther? Because God Almighty is going to be able to stand back one day, and to all those people out there who have teared down his book, he's going to say, you know what? In the book of Esther, I gave you an illustration of an earthly king who was translating his words into the many languages in his province, sent those translated words out in copy form. And when those words got there, it's what the king said with all authority. We're going to see that Esther calls it all authority. You see that? And so I want someone to tell God to his face that God can't do the same. What is the matter with you people? If you don't understand what I'm telling you here, if you haven't seen this in the book of Esther, you've been wasting your time on planet Earth. Because there is one thing is needful, the Lord Jesus Christ told Martha. And that is to sit at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ and to hear his word. I don't care what else you got going on in your life. That's the thing you need. One thing is needful. Esther chapter 8. Let's see the same thing happen now. Okay, verse 7. Then the king Ahasuerus said unto Esther the queen and to Mordecai the Jew, behold, I have given Esther the house of Haman, and him they have hanged upon the gallows, because he laid his hand upon the Jews. Write ye also for the Jews as it liketh you. So they get permission from the king to write to the Jews as it likes, as they want to, in the king's name. Look at that. Earthly people can write in the king's name. You mean to tell me that God Almighty can take earthly men and write in his name? He is a great king, the book says. They can't write in the name of the great king, the only potentate, the Lord Jesus Christ, taking earthly men to do the same? You better believe it. Holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. Okay, look at verse 8 now of Esther 8. 8:8. Write ye also for the Jews as it liketh you in the king's name, and seal it with the king's ring. For the writing which is written in the king's name and sealed with the king's ring may no man reverse. Well, look at that. Now we get even more doctrinal clues. I guess a man can make some copies out there, translate his words into all the different languages, and they're the words of a king. And when the words of a king get there, no one can even reverse them. But yet you want me to believe, don't you? Mr. Seminary graduate, you want me to believe your dolt lies. That I'm supposed to believe that, well, the Bible in my hand is okay. It's a translation as best we have, but there's flaws. Who are you? Who are you that I should believe you and not my Bible? My Bible says it's pure. Look at verse 9 of Esther 8. Now, here's another thing how God's going to get everybody. What's the shortest verse in the Bible? Well, everyone says it's in the Gospel of John. Jesus wept, right? Everyone tells you that. What's the longest verse in the Bible? Right here. Esther 8:9. That's the longest verse in the Bible. And I find it just like God, my great heavenly Father, that everybody knows it's the longest verse, but they don't read what it says. They never make the connection in their mind of what it's saying. Do you see? You all know it's the longest verse, but you don't even read it. You don't even make the connection. When it comes to all authority and the issue of the doctrine of translation. Esther 8:9. Then were the king's scribes called at that time in the third month, that is the month Sivan, on the 23rd day thereof, and it was written according to all that Mordecai commanded unto the Jews, and to the lieutenants, and the deputies, and rulers of the provinces which are from India unto Ethiopia, and 127 provinces unto every province according to the writing thereof, and unto every people after their language, and to the Jews according to their writing and according to their language. Wow! 127 different provinces, and the king's scribes translate the king's commandment into all these different languages, and not one of them said, when those copied letters got there that were translated into their languages, no one said, well, again, we need the original because we got to really know what King Husserus said, so we got to find the originals. Or did any one of them say, you know what, I think that King Husserus' scribes, they lost something in translation into my language, so we really don't know what it says, or here's a better translation. There was no doubt. When those letters got there, it's what the king said. They were translated, copied letters, and just as authoritative. Verse 10, and he wrote in the king Ahasuerus' name and sealed it with the king's ring and sent letters by post on horseback and riders on mules, camels, and young dromedaries. Now look at verse 13. The copy of the writing for commandment to be given in every province was published unto all people, and that the Jews should be ready against that day to avenge themselves on their enemies. So, these translated words from a earthly king are then sent out in copy forms to be commandments that are published. So again, I remind you, an earthly king can do this, and am I to believe that God Almighty can't? If I was to listen to all these people out there in the world tearing down my King James Bible, I would believe that dung. But I don't believe it, because I am wiser than all of them. And let me show you why. Go to Psalm 119. Psalm 119. This is why I'm so happy, why I love this book so much. Look at Psalm 119. Look at verse 97. Look at this great thing. Oh, how love I thy law! It is my meditation all the day. Thou, that's God, through thy commandments hast made me wiser than mine enemies, for they are ever with me. I have more understanding than all my teachers. Why? For thy testimonies are my meditation. I understand more than the ancients. Why? Because I keep thy precepts. Look at that. Isn't that amazing? This book, let me tell you what. You need to read it. There's your real problem. Okay? I read it. And continue to read it. Because there's nothing else that is right. Okay. Go back to Esther chapter 8, verse 13. The copy of the writing for a commandment to be given in every province was published unto all people, and that the Jews should be ready against that day to avenge themselves on their enemies. Look at verse 17. And in every province, and in every city, whithersoever the king's commandment and his decree came. Oh, so when these copied letters translated into every language got there as commandment from the king, when they got there in all these different languages of these different provinces in copy form, you don't need originals, they didn't lose nothing in translation, it's what the king's commandment was. No doubt. Do you got it? Then, you really want to put the last nail in the coffin of all these dolts? Look at chapter 9. Chapter 9. They sent out some more thing. And look at chapter 9. Look at verse 29. Then Esther the queen, the daughter of Abihail, and Mordecai the Jew wrote with all authority to confirm this second letter of Purim. What? So am I to believe that Esther, who's a good girl, a good Jewish girl, and Mordecai the Jew, a good Jewish man, they can write with all authority, But are you telling me that God Almighty cannot? You see, the issue is all authority. It doesn't say they wrote with final authority. They wrote with all authority. And if they can do it, is anything too hard for the Lord? As he asked Abraham and Moses. No. Nothing. How do I know that term, all authority? Go with me to Titus. Titus. Keep your hand there, Esther, because we're coming back. Titus. Chapter 2, verse 15. Titus, a preacher, Paul tells him, these things speak and exhort and rebuke with what? All authority. What was the all authority that Titus was using to speak and exhort and rebuke? Do you think Titus was going to walk around and say, I am a preacher, therefore I have all authority? That's not what his all authority was. The all authority that Titus possessed in his hands was that book of God. And Paul calls here, these things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. The all authority is a direct reference to the word of God that Titus was speaking and exhorting with and rebuking with. Okay? All authority. Not final authority. You fall short when you call it final authority as if there's authorities underneath it. No. All authority. A-L-L. Do you got it? There is no other authority. Back to Esther chapter 9. Look at verse 30. Now, verse 29 again. Then Esther the queen, the daughter of Abihail, and Mordecai the Jew wrote with all authority. Again, my point. These are earthly people, and they can write with all authority. Cannot God? Of course he can. He tells Titus to do these things with all authority, to confirm this second letter of Purim. Verse 30. And he sent the letters unto all the Jews to the 127 provinces of the kingdom of Ahasuerus with words of what? Peace and truth. Oh, so man can send out words of peace and truth. Cannot God? Sure he can. Verse 32. And the decree of Esther confirmed these matters of Purim. And look at this. And it was written in the book. Now, what do we got here? Summarize it. Do you know why I was just so... I'm not angry at you, the listener. But if I happen to get one heretic who tunes into this, I want them to pay attention. I am so tired. I remembered this. When I had first started reading the Bible, he taught that the Bible was perfect. King James Bible was perfect and all that. And then he really didn't believe it. He then, when I was a very young believer, very easy to be hurt and derailed as a young believer, he told me, well, you know, I heard him say in a closed door meeting, which I was spying in on, well, there can be mistakes in the Bible. You know what? I'm so tired of human beings. I am so tired of mankind. And Christ in me is tired of mankind. I'm here to tell you that this book is perfect. Do you see, in any time I challenge any one of you out there listening, and you listeners who agree with this, you go out there and preach this. And here's the challenge that I give any preacher, teacher, anyone who wants to discuss this issue with me publicly, I'll do it. I will show up with my King James Bible, and all they can have is their King James Bible or any Bible they want. No notes, no nothing. And we will go toe to toe. And I will take this book as the sword of the Spirit it is. It is not my sword. It is the sword of the Spirit. But I will yield unto him and let him skewer them alive. Because you can't answer it. You can't fight against God. And this book will win. So you want to have an open discussion about this? Go ahead. Call me up anytime. Time, date, and place. And I will be there. Okay? My point, I just want you to see, this is so critical, this lesson on translation. Remember I said God gave his word, he inspired it, we've seen some characteristics about it, we're going to see a lot more now because we're coming to the part of the Bible where we see qualities and God uses wonderful adjectives to describe his book. All right? And we see that he preserved it. We're going to get a lot more verses on that because he's collating it now as we go through Genesis up to this point. But we're going to see that the people of preservation so far have been the Levites. We're going to see who the people of preservation are in the New Testament. That would be his real church today. And we're going to see that how he preserves it through copy form, not originals. But when it comes to translation, let me tell you what, too. If that wicked Pontius Pilate could translate the charge against my beloved Savior as he hung crucified and hang it over his head in the three languages, Hebrew, Greek, and Latin. If he can translate that and had no problem, don't tell me that God can't translate his book. Okay? Man has no problem translating. But this is the real deal. You know, the old mafia guys in Chicago used to say this: if you can't understand something, a buck is involved. Do you know why that is so true? Because the love of money is the root of all evil. And if something is evil happening by teachers out there of Scripture, so-called, there's so-called teachers, I guarantee you a buck is involved. These teachers and preachers out there who do not even understand the King James Bible issue, who do not even understand now the issue of salvation correctly taught from Romans chapter 3, these people don't understand then how to follow God's establishment commandment, they would talk to you and teach you. And they come from so many different perspectives. They act like they're studious. They act like they're kind. They act like they're pious. And they're concerned for you. But all they're feeding you is garbage. Absolute garbage. Because they should be feeding you the book of God only. But you know what happens if they do? Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And once you're free, you can feed yourself. And then by feeding yourself, okay, you'll start to see some things of what they're doing, and their donations will go down. And you will see that you're not being taught correctly. So because they don't understand, I don't believe it's intentional in most of them. I just think they're deceived. But they don't understand, and then they willingly reject it. And you know why they don't understand? Because they don't want to understand. Because if they just true with an honest heart said, Lord, speak, I'm listening, God, he'd move heaven and earth to get it to them. Okay? But they don't. They want to keep you in bondage. You see, because you'll always be dependent upon them. I can't tell you how many times I hear people say, well, my pastor said, my pastor. It's like the same people in the heathen world say, my doctor or my lawyer, my attorney. What do you mean, my? What, do you own him? My doctor? What are you talking about? What are you talking about, my attorney? What are you talking about, my pastor? What are you talking about? Listen to me. You should know the word of God. Because when you stand either as a saved person at the judgment seat of Christ or as an unsaved person at the great white throne judgment, too late anyways, the issue is going to be, what is that book? Nothing else. Nothing else. And you can't claim, well, my pastor told me. Do you got it? So you remember, in conclusion of this great lesson today, Esther is a book, and there's no, God is not mentioned. And we see human beings on this earth, human clay pots. That's what they are. We're pots of clay. We all go back to the dust. Humans who can then write with all authority. We see humans who can translate their words into the many different languages of man. And when those words get there in copied form, it's what the king said. Do you get this? So Esther proves conclusively that God can translate his book into the English language. I mean, don't you get it yet? If you still don't get it, you need to just, there's no remedy for you. You know why you're not understanding what I'm saying? Probably because you're unsaved, for the natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God. Because it's through faith we understand. Hebrews 11:3.